So we're in the middle of Perek Gimel, the third Perek. We didn't do it last week, obviously, but so we'll recap and we'll keep going. So beginning of Perek Gimel, the Alter Rebbe had spoken about the two souls, the Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul, and the godly soul. Now I want to explain how they break down. So in the godly soul, he starts to say that the Neshama has 10 powers which evolve and are directly linked to the 10 spheres of Hashem, Chacham and Adas, and so on. Divided into two, the three intellectuals and the seven emotional. He calls the three intellectual mothers. Later he breaks it down further to mother and father, father, mother. And the middles are called children. Okay. So last time we discussed Chacham. Now just to bear in mind once again that he's talking about specifically the powers of the Nefesh HaLakis, of the godly soul, right? So whatever we're going to describe and the workings of it and how it works is specific to the Nefesh HaLakis, the godly soul, right? So we talk about Chochmah, for example, of the godly soul. We're talking about wisdom and truths and axioms and understandings and processes that have to do with the understanding of Hashem, right? Because that's the Nefesh HaLakis. That's the Nefesh HaLakis's goal. Now, also, the concept that he said that they call parents and the middos, the emotions are called children, that's also not specific, but it's emphasized in the godly soul. Because what we'll see later on in Tanya, the animal soul also has 10 powers, although it's a little bit different, because the animal soul by definition is animalistic, so it's impulsive. And therefore the animal soul, the Nefesh HaBamis, the emotions of the Nefesh HaBamis are not always born out of seichel, out of intellect. In fact, most of the time they aren't. We act impulsively. We don't think through things. We have the ability to, because that's part of the theme of Tanya, that moyach shalit ala lev betoldosa, that a person by nature can develop an ability that the brain should rule the heart, but it doesn't always work like that. Meaning the brain should rule the heart, even in the animal soul, right? But it doesn't always work like that. So when we say that the midos, the emotions, are always born out of seichel, that's much more in the intellectual, in the godly soul. Because the primary force of the Nefesh HaLakis, of the godly soul, is understanding, insight. Whereas the primary force of the Nefesh HaBamis is emotion. Emotion, feeling. Okay. So last time we learned, we started to talk about Chochmah and Bina. We called it father and mother. Chochmah is the kernel, the truth, the clarity. Bina is when you actually build an intellectual building of depth and breadth and so on, understanding. And they give birth to midas, they give birth to emotion. We explain that Chochmah is like the father, just like the masculine force in childbirth is the newness, the sperm, the seed, the foundation, but it will dissipate on its own. It needs Bina, which is the feminine capacity of nurturing it and developing it and gestation and so on and so forth. And only then does birth happen, right? Okay. So now what he's going to do is he's going to play that out a little bit. He's going to explain. So I'm going to give an example of how this works. An example is just to recap. We talked about Chochmah. We said Chochmah is, remember that line we said, Chochmah is how the concept grabs you, and Bina is how you grab the Chochmah. So Chochmah is higher than Bina, meaning that there's more clarity and intensity with Chochmah, but it's less of me understanding it. It's more transcendent. It's more coming from above. And that's why it's called koyach ma. It's one of the koyches, it's one of the powers of the soul. But ma, is it really a power? In other words, something higher, something transcendent. Whereas bina is me grabbing the seichel, so the intensity is diluted a bit, the clarity is diluted, but it's much more me understanding it and grabbing it. Okay. So we're going to start from the... I'll show you exactly where this is. One, two, three, four, five lines from the top. The third word from the end. Ki ha-seichel. You see that? Yeah. Okay. So what the Alter Rebbe wants to do now, he wants to give an example of how the father and the mother, Chochmah and Bina, give birth to emotion, right? To feeling. And he's going to give a particular example. An example, obviously, is in the context of the Nefesh HaLakis, and therefore the example he's giving is about the emotions of Chesed and Gvura of the Nefesh HaLakis, which is primarily love of God and fear of God. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And he's going to explain how that comes from Seichel. That's a very fundamental theme in Tanya anyway, but over here it's more just as an example of how the Seichel and the Midas work. Right? Is that clear? And the emphasis here is that it's not enough to have Chochmah, you have to have Bina. So in other words, even if a person has Chochmah of Avas Hashem, of Lav Hashem, of Yirah Hashem, nothing's going to happen from it. Because you must have that Bina, right? So he says like this. Ki HaSeichel. Because the seichel which exists in the thinking soul, meaning in the nefesh elokis, when you really think about it, now misboine means bina, right? When you have bina, umamik ma'oid, and you deeply think, very much think, you go a lot in depth, bigdulas Hashem, in the greatness of Hashem, right? In other words, you activate the power of Bina, right? Then you will come to the concept of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. Now, we have to pause here because what he's going to do is, and we're going to use it out because he gives an example of what are you thinking about, right? So the principle in Chassidus is, based on Shulchan Aruch actually, in Shulchan Aruch it's interesting, there's a halacha that before you daven, right? You're supposed to think about Gadlus Hakel, Shiflus Adam. You're supposed to think about the greatness of God and the lowliness of man. Right? Meaning how great God is and how insignificant we are. So then, you know, you want to connect him, right? So the Chassidus is based a lot on that. That's why in Yeshivas there's a concept of learning Chassidus before davening. Why? Because davening is a mechanism of emotional connection to Hashem. It's davening where we're supposed to be able to ignite, on some level at least, love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. That's where we're supposed to activate it more, and then hopefully it inspires the rest of the day. But that's why you have to think about Hashem during davening, right? And then to really think about it properly, you have to learn about it before. That's the system. I must just add, by the way, before we talk about love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, Chassidus is very clear about not fooling ourselves. It's very rare that someone should actually really reach a proper level of Avas Hashem. Right? Love Hashem really means to love Hashem like fully. Most of us love lots of things, but not necessarily Hashem exclusively. Right? However, so what's the point of learning about it? So first of all, the idea is to develop it. Well, later on in Tanya, he talks about all different levels of love. So at its greatest level, it's very hard to develop a proper sense of love of Hashem, meaning that we really love Hashem like we love something physical, right? There were great people who reached such levels, but tzaddikim, great chassidim, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, there's many levels. So the idea is to at least have it in our mind, to have an inkling to love Hashem, to be attracted to Hashem, to change our life that way, and so on and so forth. That is possible, but we learn it in its purity, as we always do in every concept in Chassidus. Okay. So he gives three examples here to think about the greatness of Hashem. And these three concepts are three fundamental concepts in Chassidus, which are huge topics. Obviously, we're not going to go into it now, but he mentions it, so we're going to explain each one what it means. So he says, what do you think about? So look what he says. He says, you think about Eichu Memale Kol Almin, how Hashem fills. I'm going to just translate it literally and then explain it. Eichu Memale Kol Almin, how Hashem fills the worlds. The Soiviv Kol Almin surrounds the worlds. The Kula Kamei Kol Achashiv, and how before Hashem everything is considered nothing. So, what does those three things mean? So, in Chassidus, it's okay. So these three topics are very, very big topics, right? And essentially what they mean is like this. I'll just tell you, there's a famous mimer in the Alter Rebbe that just brings back a memory. There's a famous mimer in the Alter Rebbe where he talks about the difference between Memalei Kol Almin and Soiviv Kol Almin, filling the world and surrounding the world. I learned it when I was a very young boy. What happened was when I was 13... So after my mitzvah, my Zayde took me to New York to visit the Rebbe, and I had a yechidus with the Rebbe, privately, you know, with private audience with the Rebbe, just me and the Rebbe. And the Rebbe asked me then, he said to me, one of the questions he asked me, he said, do you learn Chassidus from time to time? which at the time I had learned a bit of Tanya with my father, but not extensively. I told the Rebbe that, and said the plan was after my mitzvah to start. So the Rebbe said, now's the time. So before I got back to South Africa, my father had already arranged me to learn with someone, Rabbi Groner. His name is Rabbi Shalom Groner. The Rabbi Groner here, Luzi, that's his father. He became like a mentor of mine. And I used to go to him every Sunday. I didn't learn, there was no Chabad Yeshiva though, we didn't learn in school. So I used to go to him every Sunday, we used to learn Chassidus. So the first Maimer, the first Chassidus that I learned with him was a famous discourse in Kutat Torah, it's called, from the Alter Rebbe, talking about a Malak Lama and a Sofik Lama. This is what we're learning now, this concept of Hashem filling the world and surrounding the world. Right? So always think about that. So we believe like this, that Hashem manifests himself in the world in different ways. Right? That means, so we have a concept, let me just go back to a second. So we have a concept in Kabbalah and Exodus called the Or Ein Sof, the light of Hashem, the light of God, right? So I guess the way to think about it is you have a sun, you have what's called Mo'er and Oir. You have the source of light and the light. So the sun is a sun, and then the rays of the sun are the Or of the sun, right? Now the rays of the sun are not the sun itself, it's got sun-like properties, right? We have a concept that Chassidus called Oir Me'ein HaMo'er. The light is very similar to the source of light, or it carries with it the properties of the source of light, but it's only a manifestation of the light. And therefore the light can be brighter, weaker, more intense, less intense, and so on. So with Hashem, the same thing. You have Hashem in His essence. Hashem in His essence is undefined, and it's not, it's Hashem Himself, whatever that means. The essence of Hashem, as we call it. Now you have the way Hashem reveals Himself. Now obviously the way Hashem reveals Himself happens at different levels. It all depends how much intensity of Tzimtzum that Hashem applies, right? Because we have this concept called Tzimtzum, where Hashem dilutes His revelation lower and lower and lower and lower. And it all depends on the level of Tzimtzum, of what level of revelation that we have. So we find in Hashem's relationship to the world, there's the concept, number one, of Memale Kol Alma, Hashem filling the world. What does filling the world mean? Every Dovar Gashmi, every physical thing, has within it a godly spark which interacts and is enclosed and comes down into the physical thing, the physical creation, to give it life. Similar to how, the analogy for this is similar to how the neshama is in the body. How do we live? Because the neshama comes into the body, right? And infuses the body with life. Similarly, everything has like sort of a neshama. Everything has like a spark of Hashem, a creative force, a godly creative force, which comes into it and gives it life, gives it energy, right? Now, in that godly force, there's two opposite things happening. On the one hand, it's the only thing that keeps the physical thing alive. Without that godly force, the thing simply ceases to exist. Right? Which is something the Alter Rebbe talks about in the second part of Tanya. That the world's existence is a weak existence because really it doesn't have an independent existence. Its entire existence is the godly spark. Right? However, that godly spark is a diluted godly spark. Because the very fact that it can come into, it can interact with the physical Bria means that you're, and you appreciate that godly spark that's in the chair, in the table, in the world in general, you're appreciating God, but how God lowered Himself to interact with the physical world. That make sense? The fact that power, that godly power is able. So it's like saying, I talk to a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old and I explain to him a very deep idea in Chassidus, right? So obviously I can't do that, but what I can do is I can make a tzimtzum. I can come up with an idea that can be internalized by the child. If I come up with an idea that can be internalized by the child, by definition, it's a watered down concept. In other words, it's a concept which takes into account, so to speak, the limitations of the 5-year-old child, right? Just to give an analogy, yeah? So same thing, one of the ideas the way Hashem manifests himself in the world is this mamalik al-almi. And therefore, it's a godly power that takes into account the finiteness of each creation and adapts accordingly. So again, go back to the neshama, right? Because the neshama, or at least part of the neshama, the conscious part of the neshama, the internal part of the neshama, comes into the body and gives it life, and is mislabesh, to use the Hasidic term, it encloses, it interacts with each part differently. Therefore, it takes into account and adapts to each part of the body differently. So the power of the neshama life force that's in the brain is very different to the neshama life force that's in the foot. Okay? Which is why our heel is less alive than our head. Meaning, less... It's not less alive. It's the life is less obvious, put it that way. All right? Because it's a different type of chai, different type of life. And also depends... In other words, it has to be a keli. So for example, just like to go back to my analogy. The way I adapt a intellectual idea for a 5-year-old will be different to the way I adapt it for a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old. Right? A person with more background or less background. Because the recipient is different. The potential is different. The keli, we call it an oir and a keli. The light and the vessel is different. So the brain of a person, or the head generally of a person, is a much more refined vessel. Therefore, it's able to take much more intense levels of a neshama. You looking for something? Oh, yeah? Okay. All right. That's okay.
Memory will not last
at all. That's okay. Right? Whereas the foot, I'm just using an analogy that Chassidus gives, the foot is a much more coarse keli, doesn't have the same properties as a brain, and therefore is a recipient for much less, a much more diluted intensity of neshama energy, right? Same thing with the world. The spark of Hashem that comes into a stone is different to the spark of Hashem that comes into a human being. It's still Hashem, but it's much more intense levels of tzimtzum, right? Now, just stopping there, this concept of mamalik al-almin is already one level of understanding the greatness of Hashem, which, by the way, a lot of what we do during davening. If you look at davening, so you know the structure of davening is all to get to Shema, right? When we realize everything's Hashem. And then what comes out of that? What's the conclusion? Ve'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem your God, right? That's what goes at the end. Davening is a journey all the way to ve'ahavta, to Shema. And then Shemoneh Esrei is a whole different thing. Davening does different thing. But I'm saying the process of the emotional interaction of tefillah, right? So what do we do when we get up to them? What do we do as we work up? The first thing we do is memalek alamin. If you look at Psukei de Zimra, which is the songs of praise, the warm-up of davening, we describe the greatness of Hashem, but it's much more the greatness of Hashem of Mamalik al-Almin. We talk about Hashem gives life to the donkey and the thing, and he makes all the grass grow, and he makes the snow fall, and so on and so forth. Then we talk about the sun and the moon praising Hashem, and the animals praising Hashem. It's all creation. It's all Hashem manifests himself and interacts with the creation of the world. That's one level of understanding the greatness of Hashem, that he creates such an amazing world. And then we say, Morabu Masecha Hashem, how great are your deeds, Hashem, how fantastic your deeds, Hashem, right? So that's the concept of Memalek Olamin, understanding the greatness of Hashem, but as Hashem interacts with the world. That's called Memalek Olamin. Okay. Then the next phrase he says here is, V'soivev Kol Almin. Hashem surrounds the world. Now, there's a very misleading phrase, Soivev Kol Almin. I say misleading because it's often misinterpreted. It's misinterpreted as a light that is so high that it doesn't come into the world, it surrounds the world, right? That's not what it means. What it means is that Soivev Kol Almin is a revelation of Or Ein Sof, it's a revelation of the divine light, which doesn't interact with the world. It transcends the world. What does transcends the world mean? It means it doesn't connect in an internal way. It's there, but doesn't connect internally, right? I'll give you an example. If you ever go to a lecture, and let's say it's not an exact example, but it's a similar example, right? If you ever go to a lecture, he's an artist, he speaks amazing, and he speaks very deep stuff, and you can tell how amazing, you can feel the intensity, you can feel the strength, and it's like, and you heard every word, and you have no idea what he said. right? Because what happened? It's not pepnimis, it wasn't internalized. So how was it? But it blew you away. And it might have even blown you away more than if you didn't understand, right? Just like, wow. It's called, in Hasidus, it's called makif. It surrounds you. It doesn't mean it's outside of you. It's inside of you the same way as anything else. But it's inside of you in a different way. You follow? Can I pinpoint it? Can I feel it? Can I interact with it? No, but it's there, but in a transcendent way. Right? So the same thing, there's a light of Hashem that is actually not different in each creation. It's actually the same in all the worlds. Why? Because it's too high for any of the worlds. Therefore, it's present in the world, it's present in the universe, but in a non-interactive way, in a non-internalized way. Because it's too high to be internalized. Okay? So I'll give you an analogy that Chassidus gives just so you understand a little bit. Same things with that is with the way is the faculties that we have. Okay? If I tell you where do you feel the power of seeing? You ask me in your eyes, right? You don't feel sight in your foot, you feel sight in your eyes. Where do you feel the power of hearing in your ears? Where do you feel the power of understanding in your head? Right? Where do you feel the power of emotion in your heart? Okay, I know that in modern times they debate that, but according to Chassidus, that's where emotions are, right? Coming from the brain, but it's you feel in your heart, right? A person's afraid, the heart pounds. Why? Because that's where you feel emotion, yeah? If I say to you, where do you feel something we call rotzen? Where do you feel will? Sorry?
Everywhere and nowhere.
Everywhere and nowhere, exactly. Or pleasure. You say, oh, this gives me such pleasure. Where's pleasure located? Nowhere. Why? Because Chassidus explains that we have what's called koiches pnimim, internal faculty, internal powers, and koiches makifim, encompassing powers. Again, the word encompassing doesn't mean it's out of us, it means it's transcendent within us. Right? And that's why it's everywhere equally. So, Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and all the other internal faculties like sight and hearing and all that kind of stuff, those are what we call Koiches Pnimim. And that's why they're different. What I feel in the brain is different to what the power of the faculties that I feel in my brain is different to what I feel in my fingers. What I feel in my foot, or what I feel in my knees, different, all different. One's higher level, low level, more intense, less intense, because they interact with a keli, they interact with a particular location because they internalize. The word I'm looking for, I'm using is mislabish, they enclose, they interact with. Because they are absorbed, they're internalized within the particular place of the body. That's like same thing with Hashem. The godly spark that's in the table is different than the godly spark that's in a person. The godly spark that's in the world of Asiya is different than the world of Yetzirah and Imbriah, because everyone's different, so it's tailor-made. Right? However, within us, the two powers, Chassidus says, the two powers of Rotzen and Tainug, will and pleasure, those are Koiches Makifim. There's no location in the body where you say, oh, that's the power, the Rotzen is in my hand. No, it's everywhere. Because it doesn't interact with any Keli, because it's too high. It's too high for anywhere, and therefore it's everywhere. But it's everywhere in a much less felt way. Doesn't mean it's less powerful. In fact, in a way, it's more powerful. Right? Like we know, for example, Rotzen, will, they call today grit, right? In a way. Ein lecha dover of the Rotzen. Nothing stands in the way of will. If I really want something, it's going to happen. And I'll break boundaries. Why? Yesterday, I thought about it rationally, and I couldn't make it happen. But today, I have a will to do it, and I can make it happen. Why? Because will is stronger. Because it's makif, because it's encompassing, it's a transcendent power, it's actually more powerful. It works by remote control, but it's more powerful. With me? With Hashem's manifestation in the world, right? So the revelation of Hashem, the light of Hashem, the godly revelation that is in each creation separately, that's called Mamalek Alamin. That's like a Chochma Min Adas kind of thing, right? A power of sight, power of every world, every creation is different. And that's much more of a finite revelation of Hashem. Also, it's a level of Hashem that we have some understanding of. We have understanding of Hashem relating to a world. We understand the world, so we understand that level of Hashem that interacts with the world, right? Because that particular godly energy, the world exists because the Taylor makes to the world, right? When it comes to Sovev Kalalmin, it's the belief that actually Hashem's light transcends the world. There's an infinite light which is higher than the world. It has an amazing impact on the world, but it's something that's out of our grasp. We don't understand what it is, infinite. We have much more understanding in Mamalek Kalalmin than in Sovev Kalalmin. But if we learn about Sovev Kalalmin, we have what's called Yedias Hashlila, we know that it's there. We just don't know what it is. We know what it's not. We know that it's not the world. It's not, it has nothing to do with the finiteness of the world, right? But we can, it transcends the world. But it's in the world, but it doesn't interact with the world. Same like our rotzen and taino. It's not outside of us, it's inside of us, but in makif. Makif means it's there, but not interactively. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah?
How is it that rotzen and
pleasure? I'm sorry, yeah? No, it's the power of pleasure. In other words, like this. Everything that we do, the Chassidus says, Tainug, the power of pleasure, is actually the highest, it's the highest power of the soul, you know? In fact, everything we do is based on that. Even your Yiratzen, your will is based on what's going to give you pleasure, what's not going to give you pleasure. What I'm naturally drawn to is what gives me pleasure. What I naturally stay away from is because it doesn't give me pleasure. If you think about it, right? Unless you naturally work it out differently, but that's, in other words, the soul is really, it's the force of energy that I have that gives me a life, but the closest thing to the soul is Tainug. I think of an example to explain it. Let's say you build a bookshelf, right? So you can build it on many, many levels. You can build it because someone made you build it. So what part of you is there? The lowest part, just the power of action, power of behavior. You can build it because you're excited about it, because I'm only going to get paid a lot of money or something. So you have a, right? You can build it because you think it's important, like irrationally, or you can build it because you really enjoy it. What's the highest form of building? I'm giving a stupid example of building a bookshelf, but what's the highest form when you really enjoy something? Why? Because it reaches the deepest level within you. I know we look at pleasure as the most lowest thing, but that's not. Actually, it's lowest things when we follow the pleasure of the animal soul. That's why it's low. But so when you eat ice cream because you get pleasure, that's because it tastes good. That's not, yeah. That's connected, and you get excited about it, then we pursue materialism, that's because we're completely immersed in the pleasure of the nefesh habamis, of the animal soul. But pleasure still remains the great, right? Same thing with mitzvahs. We can do mitzvahs because we just have to. We can do mitzvahs because we have a pleasure in it. And that's deeper, much deeper. It reaches the deepest part of the neshama. Anyway, it's a different discussion, but that's why, yeah, I'm just going to answer you a little bit. So that's what he says here. Mamalek alamin, sovev alamin. And then he says, there's a third thing. What's the third thing? Kula kamei kala chashiv. This concept that before Hashem, nothing, everything's insignificant, everything's nonsense. What is that? That's even higher than Sovev Kalalmin. You see, Sovev Kalalmin and Mamalek Kalalmin, that's a finite revelation of Hashem and an infinite revelation of Hashem. But even the infinite revelation of Hashem is infinite in relation to what? In relation to the finiteness of the world. Which means it's got a negative relationship with the world, but it has a relationship with the world, right? When we go deeper than that, the essence of Hashem, in other words, they're both revelations of Hashem. One is directly correlated to the world, one's infinitely, in other words, it's not connected to the world, which means it's connected to the world. If you have to say, you understand what I'm saying? It's like Rav Rebbe later in Tanya gives a thing where he says, What does he say? Oh yeah, he says, you know, the power of thinking is so great that you can't touch it. You say, this idea is so fantastic that you can't pick it up with your hands. That's like a ridiculous thing to say. You understand? If I tell you something's very hot because you can't pick it up with your hands, in other words, this thing you can't pick up with your hands, but it's not that picking up with your hands is like out of, it's not in its world. It is in its world. It's just, it's in the world in a negative way. This thing you could pick up, this thing you can't pick up. In other words, that thing is so big you won't be able to lift it up. Which means lifting it up, it's in its world, just that you can't lift up because it's much bigger than that. When I say Sovev Kalalmin, the infinite light of Hashem that is transcendent of the world means it's transcendent of the world. It transcends the world, which means world has a connection to it. Right? When I say an idea is so great, how much describing its greatness that you can't pick it up. That's a ridiculous thing to say. Because picking up something is a physical thing, it doesn't even come into the equation of an idea. You know what I'm saying? Same with Hashem. When we talk about the essence of Hashem, Hashem is not finite, he's not infinite either. He has any connection to the world. He's completely transcendent. It's not like he's higher than the world, that there's a world that he should be higher of. There is no world. You know, Hashem in his essence is infinitely greater, but infinitely in the true world of infinite. That the world doesn't even come into the equation. It's not even something that I have to negate. You understand? If I have to negate something, that means that the something has an indirect relationship to you. So Sovev Kol Alamin is a revelation, it's an infinite revelation of Hashem where I have to negate the world. If you have to negate the world, it means there's some relationship to it. It's at least negatable. The essence of Hashem, the world isn't even negatable, it doesn't even start. Now, I just summarize you for 10 minutes things that there are books and books of Chassidus written about, okay? So I'm not gonna pretend that we covered this properly, but just to give you an idea of what these three terms mean. Now, why is the Alter bringing it here? He's giving me just, I thought we'd explain it because he brings it here and it's important to define what it is because it comes up all the time. It'll come up later in Chassidus. In Tanya, it'll come up later, these concepts, right? What he's trying to say is the following. That when you sit down and you use your Chochmah and Binah, and you think about the greatness of Hashem and you go in stages and you learn and you delve into and you understand and you explore understanding as much as we can of Mamala Kalama. Then you go deep and you expand the understanding of Sovev Kalama. And then you understand in a deeper way the understanding of Kula Kamekala Choshad. Really, the whole world is nothing compared to Hashem, right? What's going to be the result? So let's have a look. In other words, you get a deeper and deeper understanding of the infinite greatness of Hashem and the insignificance of the world, really. The greater we understand Hashem is, the less significant the world is, right? Which, by the way, is a common theme in Chassidus, how insignificant the world is, right? So what happens? He says like this. The deeper you think about it, noldav nisoirah, it will be born an awakened emotion. Which is the first emotion that he chooses? He says, midas yiras horomimus b'moicho machshavte. So the first thing you're going to give birth to is awe. Now we know there's two mitzvahs of loving Hashem and fearing Hashem, right? Which have to do with chesed and gevurah. But he starts with yira, because he says, when you think about the greatness of something, the first thing is awe. Wow. So there's an awe. Now, I must point out that there's, in Chassidus it talks about many, many different levels of yiras Hashem, of fearing Hashem. The most basic one is not one that he doesn't talk about in this chapter. The most basic idea of yiras Shemaim, of fearing Hashem, is fear of punishment, fear of consequence. Right? Now, we don't like to emphasize that, but it's a concept. I mean, it exists, right? Deterrent. I don't want to be distant from Hashem. I don't want to get into trouble from Hashem. Okay. He doesn't talk about that because he's talking purely about the nefesh alakisya. Right? When we have to bring our nefesh habam as an animal soul on board, then maybe it has a place because that's the language nefesh habam misunderstands. Like, you know, doesn't want to get into trouble, doesn't get hurt. So, okay, so we understand that. Fine. But and obviously that's a very basic level, and the idea is to get deeper than that. But he's not even talking about it in this chapter because he's giving an example purely of the way the Nefesh HaLakis thinks, right? Purely from the Nefesh HaLakis perspective. So therefore what happens is, the more we understand the greatness of Hashem, what's going to happen? We're going to come to a much higher level of awe. Now what happens is, he talks about that awe on two levels. Yira, fear, but he talks more in the terms of awe. He says, it's first of all develops in the mind. Before it percolates in the heart, it develops in the mind. Why? It's a Like, awe is much more of a mind thing than a heart thing. Awe means, wow, like, I'm in awe. It's much more of a mindset, that, right? So first things that happen, you start to think about it, because that's the way it explains it. Elsewhere it explains like this, that the way emotion are born from seichel, from intellect, they're first born in the mind. They're born in the intellect. In other words, the emotional mindset develops in the mind. The concept is intellectual, and then in the mind it starts to become an emotional idea, if you can say such a thing, an emotional concept. That, wow, so then that means like I need to take a step back, right? So it's called Yiras Horomus, the awe of exaltation. In other words, it's like Hashem is like, wow, like the more I understand his greatness, the more like I'm in awe, right? Liroi v'liz boishish migdolase, to have almost embarrassment, not in a negative sense, but like he calls it shame. It means shame, like a feeling of insignificance. Migdolase is barach from his greatness, she'ein lo sof tachlis, that has no end and has no boundaries, right? You can think about this idea, for example, if you, I mean, I kind of experienced this a little bit in, I know some of the commentaries in Tanya bring this analogy, like if you're in the presence of a big tzaddik, right? So when I read that, I'm thinking about the experience of being in front of the Rebbe, right? It was a whole different mindset. When you're in front of the Rebbe, you were like nothing. Like, you knew you're in the presence of greatness. The presence of greatness, you're, right? So Hashem, how much more so? In other words, that's the concept we're talking about, right? And therefore you won't do anything wrong, you behave differently. It has an effect, even if it's just intellectual at the moment, but you'll behave yourself, because you're not going to do anything that's contrary to the environment that you're in, right? So if we really understood and we kept on thinking about, the more we think about that, we're always in the presence of Hashem, who is Mamalek Kol Almin and Soviv Kol Almin, and at a deeper level, even greater than that, right? That's it. Then he says, it goes further, if we really think about it properly, we develop that in the mindset, then actually it starts to percolate in the heart, to pachad Hashem b'liboy. We actually develop a fear of Hashem, but a healthy fear of Hashem, meaning a complete subservience to Hashem, a surrender to Hashem in a way, in our heart, right? So that's the concept of Yira. Now, that very same thought process, which initially results in kind of a fear, when you take it further, it actually has to result in something other than fear, which is love. So think about this. How can the same idea bring fear and then love? Because first, even though Chesed and Gevurah is a different order, but what we talk about Yira first, right? Because first of all, you sort of blown away. You're in awe, right? So if you have this feeling of standing back, of awe, of understanding how far you are from Hashem, how insignificant you are, how nothing you are, that's not the purpose. What's the purpose? So therefore, what's the therefore? I want to connect to that power that's not me. I want to connect to Hashem. I'm attracted to Hashem. I want to come close to Him. Right? And that's love of Hashem. So he says, Veshuv, and if after what happens is, Yislahev Libo, your heart will burn up. Be'ava Azo Kerish Pe'ech, with a strong love, with flames of fire. It stands very beautifully, right? V'chasheka v'chafesa, with an appetite and a will and a tshuka and a yearning, the nefesh shakeka, and a yearning soul, ligdulas ein sof baruch hu, to connect to the greatness of Hashem's infinite light. Right? This is all describing how the relationship between the seichel and the midas work, and it's giving an example, a nefesh lekis example. Right? I mean, unfortunately, the other way also works. The more we get impressed by physicality and materialism falsely, the more also we'll run after it. Same idea. That's how Nefesh Bamis works, right? Works more naturally, in fact, that way. This is much more harder work than we're talking about here, right? But I still want Nefesh Lakis, and that's how it works. And he says, and therefore, when you really go and you go to the ultimate and extreme level of this, what happens? You reach something called Klois HaNefesh, that you actually want to just expire, right? As quotes from Apostle, he Klois HaNefesh, that's the idea of the ecstasy of the soul. Like it says in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, Nichsevavam gam kol sanafshi. My soul yearns and wants to expire. Because the soul just wants to be connected to Hashem. I don't want to even live here. I want to just be returned back home. Right? Or a different pasuk, Ksiv, and it's written, Tzoma nafshi laki, my soul thirsts for God. Different pasuk in Tehillim. Or third pasuk, Ksiv, Tzoma locha nafshi, my soul thirsts for you, and so on and so on. Right? And where does that come from? Now, you remember in the first perek, when you talk about the Nefesh HaBamis, he said Nefesh HaBamis has four foundations, fire, water, dust, and the wind, right? And they give birth to toxic emotion. But the Nefesh HaLakis also has four emotions. So he says that the love of Hashem that you develop from this thinking about Hashem, behatzimoy, and this thirst, whom yisoyed ha'esh, comes from the foundation of fire, shebe Nefesh HaLakis, which is in the godly soul. The fire in the godly soul results in this unbelievable love of Hashem, but it's activated and given and born from a process of understanding and exploring the greatness of Hashem through Chochmah and Bina. Like the naturalists, those who understand, you know, science of a human being, write about the fire and the motion of fire and so on. And so too, it's in Eitz Chaim and Reb Chaim Vital's writing. She said her eish who believe that the foundation of fire is in the heart, and that's the fire of the nefesh elokis. And where does the water of the neshama come from? That's in the brain, because water is moist, it's colder, and that's intellect. So intellect is considered water, emotion is considered fire. That's the idea of chokhmah, which is the water of the nefesh elokis, right? So he described now basically this concept of using Chochmah and Bina, but it's got to be Bina as well, otherwise nothing will happen. It won't give birth, like a father without a mother won't give birth, right? But Chochmah and Bina, understanding the greatness of Hashem, Malak Lalmin, Soiv Lalmin, etc., etc. And that gives birth to Chesed and Gevura, which he explained is Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, love, fear of Hashem and love of Hashem. And he ends off this concept and he's saying, Vishara Midas Kulon, the rest of the Midas, and Anfei Hayira. The rest of the middas are just branches of love and fear. Everything comes to love and fear, basically, right? All the other middas, all the other emotions just are branches of love and fear, branches of chesed and gevura. That's why he's not going to go into example yet. He just talks about av and yira, chesed and gevura, because that's the main primary drive of all emotion, of all connection to Hashem. Now, we'll end off this parak because he now says we explain Chochmah Bina, we understand, we explain Midas, but we didn't explain one thing. Das. Right? What's Das? So he says like this, Das is a very important part, and that's why Das is also part of the mother, so to speak, of giving birth to emotion. So what we're gonna learn now is that you need Chochmah Bina, mother and father and mother, to give birth to emotion, but it doesn't happen without Das. So the analogy, the physical analogy, of course, is you have a father and mother, but they have to connect. That's intimacy, right? And therefore, only then you can have a child. Same thing with Das. Das actually means connection. In fact, in the Torah, I mean, Das is also a big topic in Chassidus and explained different ways, different places, but in the Torah, intimacy is the word Das is used for intimacy. In the very beginning of Chumash, it says, Ve'adam yada et chava. Adam knew chava, right? And then they give birth. It says like this. What does it mean? Oh, he brings this pasuk right here. Das comes from the same expression of man knew the woman. Loshen is skashrus v'iskabrus. It's an expression of connection and bonding. Now, what does that mean? It means like this. So let me just give you a little bit of introduction before we do this inside. And it's like this. So we have the following problem. So the following problem goes like this. There is no question that without seichel, without intellect, particularly the nefesh elokis, you won't give birth to emotion, right? The problem, however, is that the process of intellect giving birth to emotion is very difficult. Why is it very difficult? Because they're totally opposite. Although one is born from the other, they're totally different. Intellect is something that I'm understanding something outside of me. It's not me. It's object. I mean, that's its power. Its power is the ability to understand something that's beyond me, outside of me, greater than me, whatever the case is, but it's not me. Therefore, it's detached. It's aloof. It's also why it's objective. That's why it's so amazing, but it's got its problems. Because I can think something, but it's not me. It doesn't affect me. Emotion is all the way around. Emotion is subjective, it's me, it's my personality, it's what I'm feeling, right? They're very, very different. So how do you get from one to the other? What's the link? How do you get from Chacham Bina to Chesed and Gevurah? Which is why we know there's often a problem, right? The person can think about something, understand something at the greatest depth, and it has no effect on it. So it's academic exercise. Right? So the only way that can happen, according to what it says here in Tanya, is through the concept of Das. Das means, we'll read the words inside, but let me just explain to you what he says outside first. Das means that when you understand something, not only do you understand the kernel, the conception of the idea, not only do you understand the breadth of the idea, but you connect to the idea. In other words, you start understanding it so deeply that you connect to it. To the point where the concept starts becoming you. Once it becomes you, it can give birth to emotion. It's no longer something detached from you. That's why we have this idea, which we call hisbonimus, I guess, which is the early form of Jewish meditation, I suppose, right? Where you learn an idea. We have this idea. I mean, we were taught this in Yeshiva. Sometimes we learn Chassidus before davening, for example, where you learn about the greatness of Hashem. And before you're davening, you think about it, you think it over. It's more you connect to it. Like you, hisbonimus, you think of an idea. I don't know exactly the deepest level of his bondness, how they do it, but they were great chassidim. Used to do this for hours. They connected. I mean, you know, you always talk about something in its extreme just to understand what it is, right? I forgot which chassid it was. There was an unbelievable chassid. I think it was a regression by Bahari. That he once started to think about a concept in chassidus, a very, very deep idea about Hashem and whatever it was. So much so that he lost complete track of time. And it was in the afternoon, and he started thinking about it. He thought about it all night. Until when he came to, it was like early in the morning, it was like a little bit dark outside, but not completely dark, because it was really light to us. And he said, "Oi, when's the Shkia? When do I have to have Mincha?" He lost complete track of time, right? I'm just giving an extreme example of what it means to connect to an idea, obviously. I don't think any of us are this relevant, but it's the idea of each on our own level, connecting to an idea. Not just thinking about it, but connecting to it. By thinking it over and over and over again and really internalizing it. Let's see how he says it. He describes it beautifully. He says, Loshon is kashrus v'ischabrus. It's Loshon, it's an expression of connection and joy and bonding. Shemekasher daitoi bekesher amitz v'chazok mo'oid. That you connect your knowledge with an unbelievable knot and strong bond. V'yiska machshavta v'chazik, and you put your thought deeply into it. B'gdulah Sein Sof Baruch Hu, when you're thinking about the greatness of Hashem, ha'inu masiach laita, without any distraction. Why is that so important? Ki af mishu chochum menodim b'gdulah Sein Sof Baruch Hu. Because even if someone who's an unbelievable great understander in the greatness of Hashem is academically very smart and understands deep ideas, hineim loy yekasher daito v'yiske machshavta b'choizek basmoda, if you don't connect your das with an unbelievable strong bond and strength and diligence and consistency, you'll never give birth in your soul to true love and fear of Hashem. It'll be sort of imaginary ideas, but they won't be connected, you won't be relevant, you won't actually be an emotional connection. That's why, he says, he ends off the chapter and he says, Belkein hadas hukiyum hamidus v'chayusa. That's why Das is called the life force and the sustenance of emotion. It's Das that creates the link, leads the Chochma and Bina into Ave and Yira. And therefore we say in Kabbalah that Das combines the idea of Chesed and Gevurah, because Das is what makes the link to emotions, and emotions are driven by Chesed and Gevurah. And that's why Das is considered the combination of Chesed and Gevurah, because it makes the link to the primary forces of Midas. Pirush, which means Avo ve'anfeo, love and all that branches off from love, ve'yira and ve'anfeo and everything, and fear and everything that branches off from fear. So that's the mechanism of Chacham Bina and Das. Just a nice thing I'll share with you. He said about why that Das sort of links to the two primary lines of Midas, right? Chesed and Gevurah. don't know if you know this, but you know, a tefillin, on the head tefillin, not engraving, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like part of the thing is a shin, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right, the head tefillin on either side is a shin, but if you look close, you'll see that one of the shins has three, like the shins normally has three lines, another one has four, you know? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the three lines of the shin is chacham ben adas. But sometimes das is considered two because it's a link to the middas, therefore it branches off to the chesed and the gevura, because middas work in two lines. And that's why it's the other side is the shin was four, because it's chacham ben adas, das is chesed and the gevura. That's why. Okay, so we finished learning today how chacham ben adas works, but also we got to understand a little bit the three very important concepts of siddhas, malak alam and servak alam and kulak amay kulak chashash.